Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center. The text is Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 through 11. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Galatians, the third chapter. And Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, "In you shall all the nations be blessed." So then, those who are of faith are blessed, along with Abraham, the man of faith. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, "Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them." Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. O Lord, have mercy on us. In many and various ways God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We hear Paul's great argument kind of right in the middle of it to make the point that it is salvation by faith and not by works of the law that justifies us, that makes us right before God, that puts us in a right standing. This portion is particularly addressed to the Jewish people and to the Gentile people. To understand that though there has been a long and of some significant importance of this distinction, that distinction's importance really has fallen away now. And that this new thing, the falling away of the distinction between the Jews and the Gentiles, is actually not an entirely, totally new thing at all, but something that was foretold in the Old Testament, something that was made clear to Abraham, our father. Now, it's become a pretty popular approach, and I think we can probably have no offense at the idea of trying to work toward peace by this approach, to speak about the common ancestor that Christians and Muslims and Jews all have. All three of these religions and these peoples point themselves to Abraham and claim him as a father. And so I suppose in some effort to try and have peace, to keep these groups from fighting against each other, the proposal has come around that we should all consider these people of Abraham, religions of Abraham, therefore maybe finding some common ground. That is okay as far as the world goes and our peace. But when it comes to the real common ground, and in fact the thing that separates these three different religions from one another, it's the question of what about Abraham is so important. And that's the very thing that Paul is speaking about here. He's not using Abraham necessarily as a point of commonality, except that we know this man. And we want to be his children, his sons even, his heirs. That's the assumption that he maintains and thinks we all will have. How then will you be a son of Abraham is the real question. And the answer is by faith. To see that Abraham is beloved of God, is a righteous man before God, because it was counted to his faith as righteousness. And that means that when we read the Old Testament, when we read about the people of Israel devoting themselves to the Word of God, devoting themselves to the life of being a son of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob in particular, it is in faith, trust in the Lord's promises to do right by them, to save them, and to make them just by His declaration. That is what should have been always at the heart of their faith and their religion and their actions. That is the thing that at the time of the New Testament, both when Christ was walking among the Pharisees and constantly finding himself embattled with the very ones who knew the Bible best, and also after it, in the time after the resurrection, after the ascension, when Paul was preaching, this very question was contested. Abraham, everybody's on board. What about Abraham? We disagree. Our Lutheran faith repairs and goes back to this question. We are especially interested in what Paul is trying to say here, not so much perhaps because we want to settle a question about Jews and Gentiles anymore, but certainly because of the underlying point that we want to be justified before God. Now, not everybody seems to express that openly, of course. Nobody even knows what the word justification means anymore. But they do want to be right. We see this, as we mentioned earlier this week, too. We see this when they are prideful and they double down and don't want to be exposed for having made a mistake, just as easily as we see them try to pass mistakes off onto other people, or to show in some way that, you know, really, if you think about it, this isn't a mistake. This is a good thing. You should probably change your perspective on it. Maybe God is out of the picture for people, but being right, being just, and in fact, specifically, having other people declare you to be right, that's very important to everyone in our world. It's the way that our universe is structured. I really believe it. And Paul does too. He assumes that just as all good Jews and anybody who's coming near to them, anybody who's coming near to Christ Jesus, wants to be a son of Abraham, so also we will want to be justified, right, in the sight and in the declaration of God, even if we struggle sometimes to be that way in the sight of one another. And that's why he makes this extended argument. That's why we find at this question of Jews and Gentiles also the question of, what about my sins? What about my works? What about my strivings? What about my attempt and sincere attempt as a new Christian, or as one who has heard the gospel, one who has been forgiven, to live according to God's commandments, to do what's right, to have my righteousness exceed that of scribes and Pharisees, not to be found relaxing the law, but upholding it. We are reinforced in the point Paul's making, that salvation does not come by that. That the Lord has not laid out a series of commandments in which we will walk and by doing them earn our way into his favor, make ourselves right in his sight. But it is rather that the Lord must rescue us. I think that's the first place to start when we speak about justification by faith to others, is to start at salvation. Everyone knows that Christians want to be saved. It's even a joke at this point. But no one thinks about what the word means, to be rescued. From what? Who will be doing this rescuing? That, I think, will lead you very quickly to a right understanding of what Paul's teaching here, too. That we have to be rescued from sin, from failure to keep God's commandments. That's evident. In fact, it's more evident the more we're devoted to his word, the more we know his commandments, the more we consider ourselves and try to do what is right. We are always confronted with the fact that we are sinners, that we have failed in this way or that we certainly could have done better. But the rescue then has to be from someone else. And that's the point of being justified by faith rather than by works of the law. That the Lord is the rescuer, that he's the one who saves us. And that, yes, just as he has saved Abraham, a man chosen out of nowhere, not on the basis of his doing or his attitude or any of this, but simply because the Lord delighted in him, so also we can get back to that question of the Jews and the Gentiles and to see that now the Lord has called all people in Abraham, in the sort of faith that he has that is counted righteous, all nations are blessed. It is evident then that the righteous live by faith, that we are declared righteous on account of faith in Christ, who has redeemed us and saved us, and therefore that as we set out to live as well, we do it not as those who must earn our way in, who must constantly be depressed and demoralized because we find that sin still is wrestling against us, But we are, as we're about to sing, free to serve him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life. It's just that we realize this righteousness is by trusting in Christ and his promises, not because we have achieved it. Therefore, it is a great thing to see that Zechariah recognizes what Paul recognizes, that Christ was always the center of what Abraham hoped in. And we are sons of Abraham too, if we trust in Christ and his righteousness for our salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.